Hello everyone, welcome to another episode, episode two in fact, of Alienation. We're just going to kind of jump right into it. I just tried recording this intro once already, and anyway, this phone, I need to buy another memory card to like up the memory, and I'm going to get a big one so I can just shove this thing full of videos and whatever, what have you, music videos, audio recording, whatever. Because right now I'm really low on space, so hopefully it works now. But essentially we're going to talk about my favorite band today. We're going to talk about my favorite band. We're going to talk about Killswitch Engage. I've listened to them for, I must have listened to them now for 10 years, actually, over 10 years. It'll be about 11 years. First time I listened to them was when I was 18. First song I heard by them was The End of Heartache. I think it might have been a guy, a coworker of mine, Mike, who told me about him. Mike and Ben, I worked with these guys at Lansdowne in Ottawa. Both are, you know, pretty good guys. And there was a lot of douchebags that worked there. Anyway, those two guys were probably the only two chill people there. That's not true. There's a couple more. But anyway, I'm not going to talk shit anymore on this podcast. We're just going to keep moving forward. So, let me see here. Yeah, so we're going to juxtapose Jesse Leach's style and Howard Jones, which are happen to be the two frontmen that the band Killswitch Engage has cycled through. Killswitch Engage is best known for, they came out with an intense single called My Last Serenade. I think that was in early 2000s, I think that was like 2001, might have even been before that, like late 90s, like 1999, 98. And then Jesse went through some hardcore, drug battles and whatnot, some issues, then I left the band for years. I mean, it was over a decade, and Howard had quickly filled in for him, and Howard wrote some, so Killswitch kind of came out with one initial debut album called, I'm gonna have to check here. Let me see. I want to make sure that I'm accurate. And this is stuff I should have looked up already, but anyway, the first album was a breakthrough album for them. I mean, they're unbelievable. So yeah, let's look at their discography. Discography. So they came out with Killswitch Engage, their just self-titled album, Killswitch Engage, in 2000, which I believe is like their smaller EP. I think Alive or Just Breathing is the one that actually had My Last Serenade. So they came out with two initial albums with Jesse, then they parted ways with Jesse, which everyone thought that was going to be the end of Jesse. He was never going to come back. Then Howard Jones comes in, fills in. I'm just kind of prefacing what we're going to jump into in the meat of the podcast. And then Howard Jones comes in with, in 2004, they released The End of Heartache to nothing but accolades and applause. I mean, that album was huge. The End of Heartache, that song got used on the Resident Evil soundtrack. It was unbelievable. It was huge. So The End of Heartache, such a powerful, powerful album. And then they did a couple more with, they did two more with Howard. As Daylight Dies, again, a power pack full of singles, amazing singles. The Arms of Sorrow, This Is Absolution, This Fire. What else? I mean, there are so many. I mean, every single song on that album I love, and that's rare for me, but I love that album. And then 3 years went by because Daylight Dies came out in 2006. Then they came out with their self-titled Killswitch Engage. You could kind of see that their steam was kind of, they were running, especially Howard, who was one of the main, because Adam D and whoever, whether it be Jesse or Howard, Adam D and the lead singer essentially are kind of the main proponents of the album. So when Howard started to kind of go through a rough patch, you know, the whole passion of the project was began to slowly fizz out. And so anyway, and then after that, Jesse came back in so far with Disarm the Descent, which was pretty fucking sweet for his intro back into the scene and in the band. And then 2015 came out with Incarnate, which was powerful, you know. 2015, 2016-ish, Incarnate came out with Hate by Design and Strength of the Mind as the singles to kind of push it forward and blast it onto the shelves. So anyway, that's the kind of the preface of and what we're going to talk about. So we're going to be talking about Killswitch Engage. We talk about Howard Jones and Jesse Leach and their different styles and kind of juxtapose the two. So welcome to Alienation Episode 2, Jesse Leach versus Howard Jones. Let's begin. Okay, so now we're going to jump right into it. I mean, I'm so pumped about this episode. I get my best ideas probably when I'm biking. I think of jokes, you know, I motivate the shit out of myself too, because when I'm biking, I'm like, when I'm going up hills, I'm like yelling too. I'm like making like very animalistic sounds. I'm telling you, man, like when the lactic acid is pumping into your muscles, it kills. So you've got to let it out. And I find the more you swear and the more you scream, it's great, because no one's around most of the time anyway. And people, when they're going by, they're in cars and they don't really fucking hear me anyway. So I'm just like, rah, fuck. And just like letting it all out. But, you know, so it's great because it's like fucking anger management. Hardcore. And it's also like, I'm also getting like maybe some divine inspiration. I just think about I get really great ideas when I'm on the move. And when I'm doing something like monotonous, like biking, because after a while you kind of get in the zone and you're just biking, you know? So things start to come to you because you're not really thinking, you're not consciously pedaling anymore. It's just this unconscious second nature. Anyway, so this idea came to me when I was biking and I was like, man, this is fantastic. So let's just jump right into it. I mean, since Jesse is now the frontman and was the initial frontman during the conception of the band, let's start with Jesse. And since I had a dream about Jesse, that's just another reason. I had a dream probably about a month ago that Jesse was in. I forget what happened, but I should have wrote it down because I write down most of my dreams, but I forget what happened in the dream, but he was in my dream, and I tweeted him that. Well, I think I told him that on Twitter. Well, I told him that on Instagram, rather. But very powerful, very powerful. You tell there's such an evolution there when it comes to Jesse as a person, you know, as an individual, as someone, as a recovering, you know, even a recovering addict, someone struggling with addictions. Yeah, and as a kind of an evolving artist, there's definitely a fleshing out of the character and him becoming, you know, a lot more three-dimensional, and there's like character arc there, what you want in any good novel, any good story, any good narrative, but especially in life as well. You know, you want, there's if there's no kind of growth or like up and down in a person's life, and they're just static and there's something dull there. But rest assured, I mean, even if you're doing fuck all in life, there's probably some sort of growth there. I mean, you just don't see it. Your spirit and soul is always growing, even if you're depressed as fuck, you know, whether you're laying in bed for months on end, years anyway, whatever the case may be. And, you know, your spirit is always growing. You just might not notice it, you know, as much as if you were active or if you're going around. But trust me, there's still, over the course of time, your soul is still spiraling out. And still, like, you know, so, I mean, it's only deception and only deceit if you believe otherwise, you know, because stagnancy, you can be stagnant and mediocre or consider yourself mediocre, but there's always growth there, you just may not see it. But again, it's in the invisible, it's in like the metaphysical arena where those things are happening, and you might not even feel it, but trust me, like, you know, next time you come around the bend and you face something similar, you're going to be stronger. You might not even just notice it, but what really used to bother you before won't be as much of a detriment or distraction as it once was. So anyway, just to kind of throw that tangent out there, for me, so I mean, looking at Jesse's life, and when he got kind of kicked out of the band, I think in terms that he left on, there was a bit of tension there, and so he left on some tense front, but there's something about Jesse, you know, there's something raw about Jesse, you know, he's got this kind of raw energy to him. I think when it comes to, you know, his vocal style, he's got a really kind of gnarly scream. It's a really deep growl he's got when it comes to his Vox vocals. Definitely a bit different than Howard's, because Howard's is more, I don't know, I would almost say Howard's is a bit more guttural. I like both. I mean, I almost hate doing this podcast too, because I'm going to play this really diplomatically, because I position myself really diplomatically here, because I really admire both frontmen. I like both of their albums. You know, I like both of their styles. so I'm going to try to play this as objectively as possible. But Howard I think Jesse's strength is definitely, I mean, writing lyrics. You can tell Jesse kind of has like that more punk origins. Like, Jesse is a punk at heart, and you can definitely feel that in his lyrics. You know, like his song called The Slave to the Machine, you know, talking about society and just that. I mean, and even if you follow Jesse on Instagram, you'll quickly see that, I mean, he's always kind of talked about the origins of the punk movement and like even just kind of metal itself. And he's always referencing kind of where he began and what really influenced him. I think that's really powerful. And you can even just, you can hear it in his lyrics though. You can hear it in his lyrics. Even if you didn't know kind of where kind of he came from. But so, I mean, Jesse, you can hear a lot of Jesse's upbringing in the church as well, because his dad was like a reverend. And so you can kind of hear that in the word choice. A lot of it harkens back to sort of that redemptive framework. Talking about redemption on those kind of themes. You know, and what I like about Jesse is like he's inherently positive. Like, he just has that sort of fighter mentality, which I think most vocalists do. You know, all vocalists, they're naturally vocal people, and they've got a very strong voice. And I think them being singers is just an extension of their natural voice as a person, to be articulate and to be just, you know, just a talking piece, and someone who's typically heard, and or who's had to fight to be heard, you know, because that's a lot of what drives vocalists too, is that chip on their shoulder, that angst and that rage and that anger kind of pushes them to those places where they can express in that way. You can still kind of hear Jesse's got that passion. I think what separates Jesse from Howard. I mean, definitely size in terms of physicality, but again, I think, you know, they kind of have a different presence about them, but they're both so powerful in their own right. Because so I might jump back and forth. I'm not going to just talk about Jesse linearly. I've been trying to do that, but I'm just going to jump back and forth between the two and juxtapose the two rather than just kind of focus on one. But when it comes to Howard, what you really notice about Howard is he's got a voice that carries a resonance. He's got this deep resonance that I think only comes with black guys. Like, black guys have a different vocal cords, and when you hear a black guy sing, it's just got a different sound to it. He's got like a, I don't know what it is. He's blessed with he's gifted with a great set of vocal cords that can just power out that deep, echoing, resonating, you know, vibration of just like, it's just, you feel it when he sings, and you can feel that emotion. And I think with Howard, you can feel the emotion too. I mean, they're not a good vocalist unless you can feel and have it connect with the emotion. Not only the lyrics, so you got to feel the emotion behind it, right? So, I mean, they both do that. Again, I would just say what's different with Howard is his lyrics. I don't know. I would almost say I connected with Howard more, because I found Killswitch when Howard was the frontman. And I went to go see Killswitch in concert in Montreal when Howard was the front man. And my Killswitch experience began with Howard. And my darkest times were probably listening to As Daylight Dies and The End of Heartache. Like, those two albums. And even the second Killswitch Engage self-titled album, where Howard was definitely, you could hear that he was feeling a lot more negative in life, and whatever he was going through, his diabetes and everything, all his other mental health struggles were kind of taking its toll, and he was just losing his passion for the project. All that shit, you could feel it on the third album, and I think that made Howard a lot more real for me, because you kind of see, like, there's one album that stands out as being a lot more, I wouldn't say negative, just a lot more kind of, well, maybe perhaps a bit more, just a lot darker. I wanted to be objective, but I like Jesse. I really do like Jesse. In terms of skill, I like them equally. But I think I had a lot more of an emotional impact, a lot more emotionally by Howard, because those years were dedicated to those songs and to those albums. So, and I had that album, I had As Daylight Dies on repeat. Like, I've listened to those fucking songs, like, I've listened to that album so many times. I bought the album too last year. I caved and I bought it. I bought the extended edition of it. I even bought the normal edition, the deluxe of As Daylight Dies, because As Daylight Dies is by far probably one of my favorite albums to this day. It still stands the test of time. The End of Heartache is still massive too. Like Rose of Sharon, When Darkness Falls, The End of Heartache. Those are all good songs. The song Declaration. The list goes on and on. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, nothing for me. Peace. I mean, Howard's lyrics are powerful too. I know that Howard wrote, co-wrote a lot of it with Adam D, but you know, you can definitely tell that Howard has a lot of influence on the lyrics. I like Howard because he talks about redemption. He talks about serenity, searching for serenity. You can hear a lot of that chase for solace, which is so powerful to me. And I really get grounded in that sort of shit. It just pumps me up. And Howard's scream is just like, it's wacky as fuck, you know, in a good way. And it's so good. And then, but going back to Jesse, when he came back with Disarm the Descent, I played the song always over and over. Like, that song was so powerful for me because it's, and the music video for that song is great too, but it's called Always. It's the last song on Disarm the Descent. And you can just tell, like the lyrics go like something like this. It's like, I am with you always, from the darkest of night till the morning. I am with you always, from the darkness of night until the morning. Lyrics are like, I forget the lyrics exactly, but something like that. And it's, and for me it was strong, it was so powerful, because I remember like I'd be thinking about dark things, and I just, and even in nihilistic caves, like there's nothing shittier than being a nihilist. I didn't have the words for it back then, because I've been kind of studying philosophy over the years and learning all this shit, but I was in this nihilistic fucking pothole and a nihilistic abyss. And I would cycle, you know, I'd cycle between believing in nothing and wanting to believe in nothing, because I was so fucking angry. And I didn't know how to kind of express that. And then, you know, so then I go back into these dark regions of my mind and just my heart. And I just, and the song Always was so powerful. So powerful. And I mean, a lot of his songs, Jesse's songs, and even Jesse's song, in the song is called In Due Time, and it's, that song was so powerful too. I mean, there's so much resolution in his, because his lyrics are like, his every song is like a choice from Jesse, and that's what I like. Every song is like a mandate. Every song is like a musical. Every song is like a musical goal, almost. It's like a musical declaration of him making a choice. Like, In Due Time, it's him saying, all in due time, you know, this shit is gonna, I'm gonna see life through different eyes, you know? And that to me is beyond powerful. That to me is just fucking off the hook. Yeah, you can just, and so Always is such a powerful, powerful song. Both of them, and I love it, because I think Adam D has always been the kind of the backbone between the cycling between the two different frontmen. Adam D's lyrics, you can tell, and he's goofy on stage. Like, Adam D is goofy as fuck, but I think that guy is so talented, because he's producer too, and he produces a lot of metal bands on the scene and metalcore bands, and he's talented lyrically as well, and he's honest, forthright. And I mean, so but the whole band is an ensemble. It's something else. And Jesse, they each have their own charisma and their different sort of presence, commanding the presence on stage. So, you know, both of them are very much kind of their own styles. And Jesus Christ, I've never seen hotter women than in Argentina. This girl that would just walk by me, and her mother too, but like, this girl that just walked by me was just the fucking hottest girl I've ever seen in my life. And I say that all the time here, and I say that all the time, but I keep seeing women that are just like the hottest women I've ever seen in my life. And that keeps it, and that girl was so hot. Huh. But getting back to, yeah, so And I think probably one of my all-time favorite songs, probably of all time, is This Fire on As Daylight Dies, the deluxe edition. This Fire is my favorite song. Arguably of all time, since I'm talking about Killswitch. That song's so powerful, you know, it's so fucking true. And there's no, I mean, both these guys, just big ups, kudos. And nothing but love for these guys, and admiration. I mean, they're great. So I hope you got something out of this podcast. I want to keep it. I don't want to go too long because people have a short attention span. But hope you enjoyed it. Later, guys. Keep your heads up.